for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, September the 4th, 1993. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Colonel Speed Wilson of Akron, Ohio, is the speaker of the evening. All right. We'll turn the rest of the evening here. Colonel Speed Wilson, and he's going to fill us in on some things that the Lord has given him the privilege to come to an understanding of concerning our nation and the things of the world, that he has learned the position that he has held in the government. He was in the Pentagon for how many years? Five? 8 years. He was 8 years in the Pentagon, sat at many conferences in the White House and at the receptions and all at the White House under what? How many presidents? Three?
About five totally.
Five.
They changed pretty rapidly.
Oh, they changed too fast. He sat under five presidents. Did you say that right?
Yeah, that'd be about right.
Right, about right.
Because
okay.
We were always busy trying to get them up to date.
Hell. Anyway, he has sat where he knows what he's talking about. He's not telling you things that's hearsay to him. He's been there, and he knows what he's telling us. Brother Wilson.
He's alive.
Great. Thank you, Glenn. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, let me say all that you would have said. Nothing more, but nothing less. And Lord, let it be heard the way you would have it heard, that we might truly understand the times and know what to do and become overcomers in this great land of ours. Amen. The New World Order conspiracy. Today being, I believe, the fourth day of September, 1993. On June the 20th, 1943, isn't that interesting? I stood before a lieutenant colonel at Pensacola, Florida, with six others in a graduating class. Most of my contemporaries stayed in the Navy, but six of us decided to become Marines and were selected to become Marines. And we swore this oath: I solemnly swear to defend the Constitution of these United States against all enemies, foreign or domestic. The Constitution. To defend the Constitution of these United States. And I knew at that time that the enemy was clearly over in Europe and Japan. But by the time I arrived in Washington, actually sometime before that, sometime around 1958, I began to realize that our enemy was not foreign. It was among us. That's the most dangerous kind, because they look like us, they act like us, but they're our enemies. And it's interesting to me to point out in the current events that there's an Army colonel and a Marine lieutenant colonel that refused to go to Desert Storm because they remembered their oath and the Constitution was not threatened in the least in Kuwait. But we'll come back to that more on. Well, I served in three wars, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. Some of you know my testimony. If you don't, briefly, I was shot down three times in World War II. We weren't winning the war in 1943 down in the South Pacific. Then in the Korean War, I was shot down again as a night fighter, had to crash land in the ocean 3:30 one morning. And then by the time the Vietnam operation came along, as I said the other night, I was senior enough that I didn't have to get shot at. But I'll tell you one thing, it's a whole lot easier to go get shot at than it is to send others to be shot at, particularly when some of them are sons of the men you know. And so I'm not about to quit fighting for this country and try our very best at some turning point here to get back to being a constitutional republic, if there's any hope of that. I don't know. And I really don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I do know this one thing, that God has everything under control. And it is a conspiracy. The enemies are right here with us. And there's nothing new about it, as we'll begin to find out as we go along here. I'll give you some quotes as we go along so that you can begin to see that it definitely is not new. It goes all the way back to Abraham Lincoln, very interestingly. And it goes back further than that. In case I forget it, there's an excellent book back there on the table, The Guardians of the Grail. I would encourage you, if you're interested in knowing how far back this conspiracy goes. And the Habsburgs are still alive, and they're, one of them is the head of the European Community Parliament. And they were, well, you read it yourself. Abraham Lincoln said in 1863, "The money powers prey upon the nation in times of peace and conspire against it in the times of adversity. It is more despotic than a monarch, more insolent than an autocracy, and more selfish than a bureaucracy." I can't imagine that. "I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my beloved country. Corporations have been enthroned. An era of corruption in high places will follow." He was a prophet. "And the money power of this country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people." Clinton is an expert at that, at pitting one group of people against another. "Until the wealth is collected in a few hands, and our republic is doomed." Well, John Wilkes Booth, by the way, killed Abraham Lincoln, and he was a member of one of the conspiracy groups, the Knights of the Golden Circle. And by the way, the conspirator that arranged for his killing was Stanton, Secretary of War, and he arranged to have the Secretary of State and the Vice President to all be killed in one night along with Abraham Lincoln, and under the law at that time, he, a conspirator, would have become president. But, and you can, there's a movie made of that, and there's also a book, The Lincoln Conspiracy. 1876, Britain's Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli said, "The governments of the present day," that's 1876, "have to deal with more than merely with the other governments and the emperors and kings and ministers, but also with secret societies, which have everywhere their unscrupulous agents and can at the last moment upset all government plans." Winston Churchill, 1945, said, "From the days of Spartacus Weishaupt," we'll talk about him later on, "to those of Karl Marx, to Trotsky of Russia, and Rosa Luxemburg of Germany, Bela Kun of Hungary, Emma Goldman of the United States, this worldwide conspiracy," now he's a lawyer and he knows what conspiracy means legally, "for the overthrow of civilization and for the reconstruction of a society on a basis of arrested development." It was called a few years ago controlled destruction or degeneration. "Of the envious malevolence of impossible equality," trying to make everybody equal. If you watch Clinton and all the other presidents from Roosevelt all the way forward have done a great effort in doing that, and it's deadly. "Has been steadily growing. It played a definite, recognizable role in the tragedy of the French Revolution. It has been the mainspring of every subversive movement during the 19th century, and now at the last band of extraordinary personalities from the underworld of the great cities of Europe and America have gripped the Russian people by the hair of their heads and have become practically the undisputed masters of that enormous empire." And we thought all the time it was the communists. 1917, Woodrow Wilson, who was an honorable man, but he had dishonest men around him, and they ran him. "There is a power so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that you better not speak above your whisper when you speak condemnation of it." Now, the most authoritative documentation of the conspiracy is a book entitled Tragedy and Hope, 1,384 pages by Dr. Carol Quigley, who, by the way, is a sponsor of the current president, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, when he was at Georgetown University, was sponsored to become a Rhodes Scholar by both Carol Quigley and Senator J. William Fulbright from Arkansas, all members of the conspiracy. So that's the background of our current president. We'll give you some more on him. But in this book, Carol Quigley is a part of the conspiracy. And the book gets its name from the fact it's a tragedy if we don't help it come to pass, and it's our only hope. That's the name of the book. There does exist and has existed for generations an international Anglophile network which operates to some extent in the way that the radical right believes the Communist Act. I thought that was an interesting comparison. In fact, this network, which we may identify as the roundtable groups, have no aversion to cooperating with the Communist or any other group, and frequently do so. I know of the operations of this network because I've been a part of it for 20 years, and for the last 2 years have been permitted to examine its secret records. The American branch of this organization, often called the Eastern Establishment, has played a very significant role in the history of the United States in this last generation. In New York, it is known as the Consul on Foreign Relations. The aim of this organization, is nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in the private hands able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the whole world. No secret about it. 1982, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, our brother in the Lord Jesus Christ, says, "There also exists another alliance, at first glance a strange one, a surprising one, but if you think about it, in fact, one which is well-grounded and easy to understand. This is the alliance between our communist leaders and your capitalist." 1991, the issue of Time magazine had Gorbachev and George Bush a photograph, and they were facing each other, and the caption was, "The Odd Couple." Time even gets the truth once in a while, but not very often. And the New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller, who was killed in the drug wars, says that if he ever became president, he was campaigning at that time, he would create an international New World Order. In 1976, a whole group of congressmen, 92 congressmen and 32 senators, signed a resolution, a declaration of interdependence. It says, "Two centuries ago," that was our bicentennial celebration, "two centuries ago our forefathers brought forth a new nation. We now must join together to bring forth a new world order." Henry Kissinger has said it many times. I won't bore you with his quotes. He's the architect of most of it, and we may have time to tell you of some of the things he's done. I had been calling it a world conspiracy as I started talking about it publicly when I retired in 1973 and had shared with some people in high places in Washington who had checked and they weren't members starting in 1968. And we were able to frustrate some of McNamara's and Dean Rusk, that's Secretary of Defense and Secretary of State, some of their plans by knowing their objectives. President George Bush, at the commencement exercise at Texas A&M University, on May the 12th, 1989, in his speech says, "Ultimately, our objective is to welcome the Soviet Union back into the world order, perhaps a world order of the future that will truly be a new world order of all nations." Well, very interesting. In 1953, just to show you how far this goes back, Rowan Gaither, who is president of the Ford Foundation, was appearing before a congressional committee. And this is what he says, in part. "We at the executive level at the Ford Foundation," by the way, all these foundations are tax exempt. The Rockefellers, Carnegies, Ford, all of those. By the way, Edsel Ford, number 4, resigned about 3 years ago from the Ford Foundation and stated that he would no longer be a part of that foundation because it was anti-American, anti-Christian, and communist. But you didn't read that in the New York Times, nor the Washington Compost. We at the executive level were active in either the OSS, which later became the CIA, or the State Department, or the European Economic Administration. During those times, and without exception, we operated under directives issued by the White House. We are continuing to be guided by such directives, the substance of which are to the effect that we should make every effort to so alter life in the United States as to make it possible a comfortable merger with the Soviet Union. You're witnessing that today. They're making us very socialistic, and Hillary Clinton's socialized medicine program will reduce us to Well, it'll just keep reducing. It all started under Roosevelt, the socialization of our nation. And as Pat Robertson recently said, if you think the Hillary Clinton's medical program is great, you ought to check with some Canadian or Britisher. He says the new medical program will have the same effectiveness and efficiency as the Postal Department and all of the compassion of the IRS. 300,000 Canadians came to the United States last year to get operations that they couldn't get north of our border. So you don't want it here. By the way, when Clinton said he could do for our nation what he did for Arkansas, I believe he can. That's probably the only thing he ever said that was true. Out of the 50 states, Arkansas is number 49 on average personal income. Well, Paul Warburg, in the United States, before the U.S. Congress in 1953, the same year, he said, "We shall have a one-world government whether or not you like it. It will come to be by consent or by conquest." Pretty good. He's the guy that, well, we'll get to him in the Federal Reserve Program. So it's been accelerating, been coming right along, and so they have to create the illusion that the communists are becoming more capitalistic, and we're definitely going to become more socialistic so that they can reduce us to a sham of what we could be and raise them up. And by the way, the Rockefeller Rothschilds are going to buy what they don't already own in the Soviet Union with money that we're giving to help the Soviet Union. Isn't that nice? We provide the money and they hold the title. And 1994, the director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, and it was a great move to just smear the man. And he did have some problems. The individual person is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous that that person cannot believe that it really exists. And some of you will begin to believe that. You'll have that trouble as we go along. But believe me, it does exist. 1988, a Dr. Sterling Lacey wrote an excellent little book entitled Valley of Decision. And he was trying his very best to tell people who George Bush really is so they wouldn't vote for him. But you really didn't have much choice. This is what he says. Most American Christians have a hard time believing that other Americans could be so evil as to purposely cause wars, wage wars for political purposes, lose wars deliberately, aid the other side while our men are dying on the battlefield, sink their own national sovereignty to prepare America to be just another province in a one-world government, promote collective immorality in order to prepare America for this new world order, and destroy the family and true faith in God in order to break down the final barriers of opposition and purposely undermine the most rewarding economic system that working people and poor people have ever experienced in all the history of mankind, just to create the chaos needed to stampede an entire nation into demanding its own slavery. And things are going to get just about that bad between now and 1995, 1997 at the latest. Now, here's one that really is the central portion of the whole thing. And this appears in the book by Ralph Epperson entitled The Unseen Hand. It's probably out of print now, but he's written another book entitled The New World Order. By the way, Pat Robertson published an excellent book, and surprising enough, it got to number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list by the same title, The New World Order. Pat soft-pedals a whole lot of stuff in it, but it's still good information. Quoting Ralph Epperson, "There is a huge, extremely powerful conspiracy at work in the world to achieve absolute and brutal rule over the whole human race. This conspiracy is made up of small groups and individuals who control wars, revolutions, depressions, like people control chessmen on a board. These individuals operate in part through secret societies that are created for specific purposes or events. The secret within the secret is that they worship Lucifer, Satan, the devil. They are Satan worshipers." And by the way, the Lord didn't tell the Lord didn't tell Satan it wasn't his to give. Very interesting. Luke 4, verses 5 through 8 says this. The devil took Jesus up onto a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said to him, quote, all this power I will give unto you and the glory of them which was given to me and to whomsoever I shall give it. If you shall only worship me, all this shall be yours. And did you notice Jesus didn't say it isn't yours to give? All he said was, get thee behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. Well, the Masons, it's worth looking at. Here's what the head of the Masons, Albert Pike, wrote, stating, he was the last Grand Master of the Knights of Templar, going in there again, the Guardians of the Grail, that which we must say to the crowd is, we worship a God, but it is the God that one adores without superstition. To you, Sovereign Inspectors General, we say this, that ye may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd, the 31st, and the 30th degrees. The Masonic religion should be, by all of us initiates of high degree, maintained in its purity of Luciferian and Satanic doctrine. The true and pure philosophical religion in the belief of Lucifer and Satan is equal to Adonai, that's a reference to the Christian God, but Lucifer and Satan, the God of light, the God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, who is the God of darkness and total evil. See how they flipped it just exactly. So that's what... Yes. Arkansas produces some real winners. But thank God we got a winner here, and we're going to cast them out. We're going to pass all that pig razorback stuff out of here. The pigs in the parlor, we're kicking them out. Well, we're well on the way. In the past, when I've spoken here on this subject, I pointed out that 5 October 1977, President James Earl Carter signed the United Nations Human Rights Treaty. Doesn't that sound great? And I'd pointed out, if that treaty was ever ratified by the Congress, or the Senate rather, excuse me, not Congress, just the Senate, that that would be the end of the United States as a sovereign nation. Now, prior to Jimmy Carter, since 1948, every president had refused to sign that treaty, because if it was ever signed and ratified, it did away with the United States as a sovereign nation and private property ceased to exist. Well, the Senate approved it the second day of April, 1992, by a voice vote, so you'll never know who voted for it or who voted against it. So on the second day of April, 1992, shame they couldn't have done it a day early, so it would have been April Fool, the United States ceased to be a sovereign nation. You can recognize it and see it because we are transferring our armed forces to the United Nations, and the people that killed Mrs. Weaver and her 12-year-old son in Idaho was a prelude to what happened in Waco, and the wackos at Waco were called the feds. They weren't feds. They were not a part of the federal government. They are a United Nations force. And the Secretary of the Treasury, under which ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, is not a part of the United States government. He's paid by the International Monetary Fund or the World Bank. So the Secretary of Treasury is a part of the United Nations. And these forces, these people in the black suits and black unmarked helicopters, are in effect, as far as if we were a sovereign nation, are foreign troops. But we're no longer a sovereign nation, so they're not foreign troops. It's going to get so bad, they probably will have to have these troops become Chinese or German or someone else that can't speak the language and have no compunction about repeating what they did at Waco. Actually, killing women and children, 86 in exact number, the most catastrophic event in the history of this nation. We all talk about the Great Boston Massacre that was a part of the trigger of the Revolutionary War, where 8 people were killed. course, we've done worse things than that overseas, but we've never done that to our own people before. So we've ceased to be a sovereign nation. On the second day of April, 1992, that made it official. We had ceased before that, but that made it official. Well, George Bush again, on the 11th of September, 1990, appearing before the Congress, trying to get the troops released to go to the Persian Gulf. He says the Persian Gulf crisis is a rare opportunity to forge new bonds with old enemies. How about that? A unique and extraordinary moment. Out of these troubled times, a new world order can emerge under a United Nations that performs as envisioned by its founders. Well, maybe you didn't know who its founders were. Its founders, who drafted the charter and implemented the whole thing, was headed by Alger Hiss, who was a convicted communist later on. There were 16 hardcore communists and 34 CFR members drafted the charter of the United Nations. So indeed, it's going to perform as envisioned. It's to become the one world government, and will is the one world government. And then Mikhail Gorbachev has the same speechwriter. Peace is a movement toward globality and universality of civilization. To me, it is self-evident that if the Soviet perestroika succeeds, there will be a real chance to build a new world order. And that was a year later. Well, many others. Along about here, I've written at the top of the page, God has everything under control. That's for my benefit, not yours. You know, 31 years in the Marines, I like the direct approach. We had a rule in the Marine Corps, if you're ever in doubt what to do, you attack straight ahead. None of that digging in and waiting stuff. And when I found this out about McNamara and Dean Rusk and all the others in 1968, I'll have to tell you that I had about 3 sleepless nights debating with myself to whether I would go around to office number 500E, in the outer ring of the Pentagon, and just blow him away. And then I realized that wouldn't do anything but get me killed, and they'd just run another one in, because they have quite a supply of them. At that time, about 2,000 CFR members. Isaiah 5:13 says, my people are taken into captivity for the lack of knowledge. And, of course, you see Hosea 4:6, but you never hear most of it quoted. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and that's not the end of the sentence. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. 2 Peter 1:5, to your faith add knowledge. Now see, knowledge takes a little effort. Many people don't like to make any such effort. Wisdom, has been pointed out previously here, comes from God. As I see wisdom, wisdom lets you know what to do with the knowledge you have. And I'm just here to transmit some knowledge, I hope. That you might understand what has happened in the past, why it happened that way in the past, what is happening right now, and what you might expect in the future. The scripture says there were actually men at that time who understood the times and knew what to do. Well, there is a solution. We learned that God creates evil situations or situations to force his people back to him. Remember, in Jeremiah 25:9, and I read this and I couldn't believe it a few years ago, it says this. The Lord said, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, shall utterly destroy Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant. You might say, Bill Clinton, my servant. And he will perform just as God would see him to do. Well, does the Bible tell us about a one world government? I think so. One that we quote at Christmas, Isaiah 9, verse 6 beginning, written 2,700 years ago. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government, singular, shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We know him as Jesus Christ the Lord. And of the increase of his government and his peace there will be no end, to establish it with judgment and justice. Glory to God. From henceforth and forever and ever. Don't you love that term of office? And the power of the Lord of hosts will do this. Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. In a vision I saw the Son of Man come with the cloud of heaven. Sounds just like New Testament. And there were given unto him dominion and a glory and a kingdom composed of all nations and of all languages, that they would all serve him. And his dominion and rule is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall never be destroyed. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh, or last angel, the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom, singular, of the Lord and his anointed saints, the Lord and his Christ, and they shall rule and reign upon the earth forever. And Revelation 20:4, the overcomers rule and reign with Christ, with God's anointing. And Daniel 7:18, the saints of the Most High God, that's El Elyon, shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom and rule in that kingdom forever and ever. Now, there's a whole series of tapes which they have here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. They're back there on the table. There's a list of some tapes. And after you found out you aren't going to fly away, you might be able to be interested in the Mark of the Beast and some other things that the escaped people are not interested in. And pick one of these up on the table and do not, I repeat, do not order them from me. Because they have them right here at Lake Hamilton, and you can get them right here, and they'll reproduce them for you. However, take them along. You might want some, and you can order them later from me if you want. But for now, right here. Knowing the times and seasons, and we, as far as I'm concerned, prove that we're at the end of an age when we should be able to see the one world government taking shape. Everything I teach confirms that we're where we think we are. That's the one subject that I believe the Lord has called me to teach. Well, on April 1979, the Secretary General Joseph of NATO, Joseph Lund, said to the meeting of these conspirators, the steady advancement of the unity of Europe is our most promising guarantee of a one-world government. Well, they became a one unit, the 12 nations, the European community, on the January the 1st, 1993, this year. Well, what's the idea behind all of this? Well, it's 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the basic cause of all evil. It isn't money itself. It's the power that comes with it and what makes them seek it. In 1810, the father of all the Rothschilds down from the Reading wrote in his memoirs, give me control of a nation's money and I don't care who makes its laws. Well, so they have control. They gained control of our money system in 1933, December 26, 1933, when they passed the Federal Reserve Act, which is unconstitutional because Congress has the responsibility and they can't transfer it. But being unconstitutional is no problem with these people. And then, of course, on down, and a few years later, that worked so well at the Federal Reserve that Paul Volcker, as Assistant Secretary of the State for Monetary Affairs, started the International Monetary Fund, which became the Federal Reserve of the world for this group. And, of course, they want absolute control. Now, you got to remember, that's what they're after, is absolute control. And we'll see this come to pass. In fact, it's working right now of Revelation 13:17. All, both great, small, rich, poor, free, slave, could not buy or sell without this identifying mark. And I have a tape entitled The Mark of the Beast, and it doesn't come out the way your fear-mongering fundamental preacher tells you. Nine times before you get to Revelation 13:17, God marked his people. And nothing's going to happen until God has marked his people or sealed his people. So don't get all shook up. But if you don't know the Lord and haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you better get shook up. Well, I don't know why people love to be frightened. The Bible is good news. G-O-S-P-E-L, God's only gospel. God's only Son provides eternal life. G-O-S-P-E-L. That's a good acronym. How about the origin of the New World Order? Well, it started in Babylon. That's where they started central banking system. And then Adam Weishaupt, who was a Jew of the tribe of Judah, Roman Catholic priest, a Jesuit to be exempt, and had gone as far as he could go in witchcraft. He was a very advanced warlock, and he needed three books to get any further. The Kabbalah, of which most occult organizations are based on, the Minor Key of Solomon and the Major Key of Solomon, and these books were owned by the Rothschilds. So he joined the Rothschilds in Satan worship with his witchcraft, and they created the Golden Dawn Coven, very powerful. And that was on the first day of May 1776. That's May Day, if you didn't recognize it. And it's the international distress call, which is pretty appropriate. Why did they select the first day of May? Because it's the birthday of the occult god Baltane, which literally means the god of light. Remember what Pike said? And the light bearers became the illuminated ones, or the Illuminati. And all the communists and witches and the labor unions and all the others all celebrate May Day. Now you know why. They're Satan worshipers. 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan himself being transformed into an angel of light, Baltane. Well, in this Golden Dawn Coven, it has a branch here in the United States called the Bohemia Club out by San Francisco. Or by members, they simply refer to it as the Grove. Many of them are homosexual and on and on. And many members of that, some that you would recognize is Warren Christopher, the current Secretary of State, who is also a former director of the CFR. George Shultz, former Secretary of State. David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger, Cap Weinberger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and a new man, Dave Gergen, that just came in to be... he was once Reagan's prime cabinet member, a personal advisor, and he has just come, isn't that interesting, as a Reagan advisor, and now he's Bill Clinton's communications head. That's a communication head. That means he's the minister of propaganda, as that's what we'd call if it was Hermann Göring of Hitler's day. And so they're all a member of the same. And by the way, Gergen is a CFR, Trilateralist Bilderberger, member of the Grove, and Satan worshiper. George Bush is a third-generation member of the secret and occult Yale Skull and Bones Society. If you read Guardians of the Gale, Guardians of the Grail, you'll find the Skull and Bones started 1100 A.D., way back there. And it is a Satan-worshipping organization. They said, yeah, but George Bush always said, oh, God bless it and God bless America. Did you ever hear him say Jesus is Lord? He's talking about another God. I think Pike's statement made that very clear. And many other secret organizations. Remember that? The secret within the secret is that they're Satan worshipers. Marx and Lenin were Satan worshipers. So was Hitler. Isn't it interesting that the first Earth Day, the ecologist, and boy, that's the biggest bunch of propagandists you can imagine, the ecology group. They haven't got a scientist in the group. All the scientists know what they're saying is lies. Just for one, global warming, they accept that. I stayed in the home of a climatologist at Princeton University. That's interesting. They invite me up there about every third year as an example of the radical right. And that's the way they build me. But 500 students come out to hear me, and I really lay it on them. Just stuff that you're getting laid on, and give them charts and all the other stuff, which I'd love to be at some of the liberal classrooms after I've talked there some of those mornings. But Dr. Becker, a climatologist, he said this global warming stuff is just a big bunch of garbage. It's not happening. He said, I can take you up into Canada right now, and I can show you where there used to be wheat fields that are under ice right now. And if you doubt that, just get a Burpee's seed book and the zones and where you should be planting that's 10 years ago, and you'll find the growing season is decreasing as it moves south. So it's going to get colder, a whole lot colder. And just for example, the big ozone holes over the pole, biggest bunch of garbage you can imagine. Even the Space Administration disavowed that one. They found out it has absolutely nothing to do with anything we do here on Earth. It's all directly related with the activity of the sun. And the government ought to control the sun. They ought to get a hold of that thing and make it look good. But why don't the government do something about that? Well, we might run for election on that one. We get that. So it's all a big ripoff, but it makes you believe it so that they can kill us industrially and also spend a lot of money. More and more money. But it's interesting that the first Earth Day in 1970 and the 20th Earth Day in 1990, with 200 million participants around the world, 125,000 of them in D.C., both fell on Lenin's birthday. Accidental, surely. Certainly don't believe everything you hear about that. The Illuminati, the Mariah, the Club of Rome, the Committee of 300, the Freemasons, you can go on in these organizations. In 1921, the Rothschilds and John Cecil Rhodes, Rhodes Scholar. Bill Clinton being a Rhodes Scholar, let me enlighten you about Rhodes Scholars. I knew this many years ago, but I never figured that I'd ever read such an authoritative statement. Sir Francis Weil, the first Oxford trustee of the Rhodes Estate, says this, quote, "This is not an educational endowment as ordinarily understood. Its purpose is not to give anyone a better education than he could get anywhere else, nor to promote learning, but to encourage in a rising generation of English-speaking people a particular outlook on the problems of the world, to give them, in fact, a political bias. This idea of using scholarships as instruments of political purposes had come to Rhodes and had taken shape in his will in 1893, declared the secretary." Well, and it goes on to explain what they're after, the New World Order. So Rhodes Scholars, and there's a big list of all the senators and others around here who are Rhodes Scholars. Whizzer White just stepped down from the Supreme Court and was replaced by Ruth Goldberg. By the way, Ruth Goldberg, rather interesting. She's a member of the CFR, also on the Board of Directors, the American Civil Liberties Union. Very unbiased, I'm sure. And it's interesting, her husband is a lawyer, and guess who his biggest accountant, biggest account is? Perot, Ross Perot. It's all in the family. And here are some of the Rhodes Scholars. There's Senator David Boren of Oklahoma, Bill Bradley, great basketball player from New Jersey, Richard Lugar, Republican of Indiana, Larry Pressler, Republican of South Dakota, Paul Sarbanes, lousy rascal, Democrat from Maryland, and Representative Tom McLennan, a Democrat of Maryland, and, of course, the President Clinton is a Rhodes Scholar, and, of course, was J. William Fulbright was also a Rhodes Scholar. Well, all this Council of Foreign Relations thing, Rhodes, John Cecil Rhodes created this an organization in England to control the colonies as they broke away. But as the Rockefellers became more and more powerful from the oil interest and railroads, the Rothschilds began to turn over some of their influence and rule the world along with the Rockefellers, and brought into existence the Council on Foreign Relations, we'll refer to as the CFR. And the head of the CFR has always been a Rockefeller. David Rockefeller is still chairman. Currently, the president of the CFR is Peter Peterson. By the way, it's very interesting that the deputy secretary of state is Peter Tarnoff, who is the former president of the CFR, and the assistant secretary for Asian affairs is the former president of the CFR, and that is Winston Lord. When Winston Lord stepped down from being president of the CFR to become our ambassador to Communist China, he was replaced by Peter Tarnoff. And now they're all in the State Department. So guess what our foreign policy will be? Every secretary of state we've had since 1924 has been a member of the CFR. And Christopher is number 15. And I don't know how anyone could ignore the fact that that has to do some conspiring. It just doesn't happen by accident. And there are about 2,000 CFR members, but George Bush had 300 of them in his cabinet. And by the way, the current president is probably going to break that record before he's through, because I have a chart here that you'll be able to pick up back there. We've been doing this for quite a few years, ever since Carter. We make a chart of who the conspirators are. You know, if you're watching a football game, you have to know who's on your side and who isn't on your side. So here's the latest one on the Clinton administration. It's not complete because he's still working on it. He's having a hard time filling some cabinet positions because you have to either be queer or liberal or a former criminal or under suspect for something. So it's a quota system. It really is. I'm serious. It is a quota system. And the requirements are not mainline America. Not when he has about 80 of the sodomites in the Oval Office and all of that. So this is back there, and they're 25 cents a piece. That's exactly what I pay for them. So pick up one of those. And in case I forget it, there's also an excellent little booklet back there. It's 25 cents, the New World Order. And for those listening by tape, if you'd like to have these, send me a dollar to help me pay the postage. And my address is 4453 Provence, P-R-O-V-E-N-S, Provence Drive, Akron, Ohio, 44319-4528. And my social security number is? No, you don't have names anymore. Well, membership in the CFR are by invitation only. And it's amazing that they have so many people to fill all these offices out of such a minority group. By the way, on this chart, you'll find that every chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff that we've had for years has been a member. Colin Powell, no exception. And then the news media over on the left-hand side, everybody that is anybody in the news media is controlled. And just amazing industry and all the others. You can look down and see which companies not to invest in. I told people years ago, don't put your money in International Harvester because they don't have any people in the conspiracy. But John Deere might work out pretty good because they have quite a few. And in the Bush administration, there was only one individual who was not a member of the conspiracy. Could you guess who it was? Dan Quayle. No wonder the Antichrist newspapers didn't like him. And when Reagan came to town, he insisted on 8 of his people being in the cabinet, but they didn't last a year. George Bush purged every one of them within a year, except one. Ed Meese was able to stick it out. A dear friend of mine, James Watt, was one of the first to go. Born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. In fact, I had the privilege of laying hands on his wife, Leilani, to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So they all had to go. And so George Bush already had his cabinet. Some people just get upset with me. They said, who are you going to vote for, Bush or Dukakis? I said, I'd vote for Dukakis. I said, why? Well, Dukakis, well, I won't get into his mental capabilities, but it takes about 2 years. It takes about 2 years to form a cabinet. So then they only have 2 years to do any damage. But Bush already had a cabinet, so that's the reason I would go. Isn't it interesting? Our current president was elected with only 43% of the popular vote. Dukakis received over 3 million more votes than did Hillary Clinton. I saw the bumper sticker the other day. It says, impeach Clinton and her husband, too. Well, I like the real short one. Is it 1996 yet? Well, there are a whole bunch of, most of the heads of the colleges, remember, let's hurry along. 1954, 80 members of the Rothschild winners, and all the power groups were meeting in the Bilderberger Hotel in Vienna, and they created what is known today as the Bilderberg, because they met in the Bilderberg Hotel. And Prince Bernhard of the Royal Dutch Netherlands, he's not a penny pincher. He owns Shell Oil Company, North American Phillips Electronics, and every one of the little cassettes you get, he gets a commission on those because that's a North American Phillips outfit. And and of course, Henry Kissinger and Rockefeller and all of them were there. And so that was the beginning of the Bilderberger. And they meet annually, and they determine what's going to happen in the United States and all over the world. For example, in May of 1990, they were meeting up in New York, and the Bilderberger said that George Bush would have to increase taxes. June, the very next month, George Bush, read his lips, said we got to increase taxes. So they do decide, and they do have an impact on you. And they also decided at that meeting that the United Nations needed some consistent income, because most members don't pay their dues, that they would collect 10 cents on each barrel of oil produced anywhere in the world. That's a lot of money. And they get 30% of all the income on Iraq's oil. That was another reason to go to Desert Storm. That's the reason they're not going into Yugoslavia, because there isn't any oil there, just trouble. And they also said, now get this was in 1990, they have to have another war within 5 years. Between now and 1995. The communists also plan to make their final move for world conquest by 1995. So see how well they're coordinated. And by the way, the communists have not died. The KGB is more powerful now than it's ever been. They're still producing 3 new jet airplanes every 24 hours, 10 new tanks every 24 hours, and a new submarine every 6 weeks, while we're disbanding all of ours. When the former Secretary of Defense, his name, was confronted with that, when he was confronted with that fact, and he didn't deny it one bit, he just said, well, you can't expect them to stop right away. It would create an unemployment problem. What did it do to us? Ask the brother from California what it did to California. But that's different, you see. That's a part of the plan, is to destroy us, build them up, so that we can comfortably merge. Well, the Fabian Society, one of its major members was Joe Kennedy, the father of the endangered species of Kennedy's, the Royal Institute. Then the Trilateral Commission. That's a new one, 1973. You might recognize the name Professor Zbigniew Brzezinski. It was his idea, and he presented it to the Rockefellers, and they thought it was a great idea. And some of the charter members were Jimmy Carter and Fritz Mondale. Somebody said, how did Fritz and Grits get together? Well, they met over at the Rockefellers. That's how they got together. And trilateral means Europe, the community of Europe, North America, the United States and Mexico, and eventually South America and Central America, and Japan and her influence. Trilateral. Better than 90% of all the world's wealth resides in that trilateral commission, so they control the world. And they also have meetings. Remember the G7, the group of seven? They meet annually. By the way, read Revelation 17:10. Talks about those seven kings. And also this same group, specifically Henry Kissinger, they've divided the world into three major areas, but they've subdivided it into 10 regions. And that would fit Revelation 17:12. There are 10 kings that had no power except the beast, and the beast system gives them. But they reign a very short time. I think it says about an hour or so. According to the book of Revelation. By the way, it's interesting, the one on the seven, the group of seven, five of them are going to fall, according to the book of Revelation. I think they're all going to fall. And so the Trilateral Commission controls the whole wealth of the world. 90 members from the European community, 75 Japanese members, and of course, 90 from North America, the United States and Canada. Mexico didn't have any members yet, but they will very shortly. And so they get together and plan things. Now, you got to remember that 80% of the Rockefeller wealth is outside the United States. And you really don't know how much they own in the United States. By the way, did you ever understand what Sony stands for? You know, that good American television? S-O-N-Y? Sounds like Japanese. You say, Osu desu, hai, yo dozo. But, no, it stands for Standard Oil of New York. Everybody was so excited here a while back when the Japanese actually bought 50% of the Rockefeller Center. Can you imagine? Mitsubishi bought 51%. Well, guess who owns Mitsubishi? Rockefellers. All they were doing was transferring money from one pocket to the other one. That's all they were doing. And if you want to find out where the safest place is probably to go, because they don't have much good plan for us. Back in 1992, they completed 22 large mansions in Canberra, Australia. That's the capital of Australia. And they're completely furnished, and there's only one Rockefeller down there. He's the eldest nephew, and he's taking care of it. So you might want to consider becoming an Aussie and get out of this mess. Sort of reminds me of the guy that was an Englishman, and he saw the World War II coming, so he wanted to get the heck out of Britain because he knew it was going to be a real Holocaust. So he went to the South Pacific and built a nice home on Guadalcanal. That's a true story. No, the safest place on the face of Earth is in God's will. And the most dangerous place is out of it. And the Institute of International Economics, Henry Kissinger and the others all meet on that. You won't hear much about it. In fact, they have three major news press conferences or public relations outfits that sees to it that their names are kept out of the news. You'll only hear it incidentally, like when Bill Clinton was up on vacation at Martha's Vineyard. I thought, what a poor place to go. Man, that's where Ted Kennedy drowned his pregnant secretary. I would have picked another place to go. You know, she said, but Senator, I'm pregnant. And he said, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. You know, And he was calling Judge Thomas a bad guy. Can you imagine Biden, a confirmed liar, Metzenbaum, a draft-dodging communist of World War II, and Ted Kennedy sitting in judgment of Judge Thomas? Evil shall become good. Good shall become evil. The signs of the times. Well, they control a lot of things, the Institute of International Economics and Currency. Remember again what Rothschild said, give me control of a nation's money, and I don't care who makes its laws. The Federal Reserve Act, I think most of you know about that, 1913. Paul Warburg drafted the legislation and introduced it, and Woodrow Wilson called a special session. And in 1913, we didn't have airplanes, so the traders had all remained behind, about 14 of them, as near as I can find out, and they railroaded this through and passed it and created a Federal Reserve and gave control of the American money over to them. It's very interesting in passing on Paul Warburg that at Versailles at the end of World War I, guess what, who met in the railway car to negotiate a settlement of the war, here was the American representative, Paul Warburg, sitting across the table from Max Warburg negotiating how they were going to settle the world after World War I. You know it was a fair deal. Amazing. And the central banks and all of that. Well, what does the Federal Reserve do? It's a privately owned corporation. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in 1991 that it is a privately owned corporation. We all knew that. And here are the banks that own it. Rothschild Bank of London and Berlin, the Rockefeller Chase Manhattan Bank of New York, Warburg Banks of Hamburg and Amsterdam, Kuhn Loeb Bank of New York, Lehman Brothers of New York, Lazard Brothers of Paris, Israel Moses Schiff Banks of Italy, and the Goldman Sachs Bank of New York, privately owned corporation. We could settle our federal deficit, could be solved tomorrow by just getting rid of the Federal Reserve because of the interest on the national debt. Did you know that by 1975, every bit of the tax income to the government will be required just to pay the interest on the national debt? There won't be anything left over. 95, excuse me. There's a book, an interesting book written by the fellow that was on, as co-chairman on the Grace Commission, which Pat Robertson said if he ever became president, he would implement the Grace Commission because it could knock off $400 billion on the budget right away. And he's written a book. It's a bestseller. It's entitled Bankruptcy, 1995. I think it'll stagger along till 97, but 95 is a good figure. And, of course, they issue the money and Federal Reserve notes, not backed by anything. They control the amount of interest the banks can charge, and they control how much the banks have to hold on reserve. And they create money out of nothing and charge interest on it, take Treasury notes every time they issue any money, they take a Treasury note for that much that they issued, and they start collecting interest on it from our government. And the United States is now the greatest debtor nation in all the world. We own more money than any nation in the world. And yet we're still giving it away, still working it out. Henry Ford said in 1945, if the American people really understood the corruption of our money system, there'd be a revolution before morning. The International Monetary Fund, the World Bank. By the way, after Robert McNamara destroyed the military peril of the United States by 1972, in 1972 the Soviet Union became the dominant military power of the world, and it got worse from there on. And after McNamara, and he served under three presidents, so it went right along. It's very interesting that after he destroyed the military peril of the United States, he became president of the World Bank, and then we wonder why we got money problems. And he's still around, very powerful, Robert McNamara and his band. That's Dr. Enthoven and Volz. They go with him everywhere they go. We used to laugh about the dog and pony show, and we're always wondering which one was the head and which one was the other end. But they're overeducated people, as Harold Hill would say, overeducated idiots. As one senator said, they knew the price of everything, the value of nothing. And that is about true. That was F. Dirksen from Illinois, a dear old man. When McNamara said he could never remember ever making a mistake in his life, F. Dirksen said, I noticed he doesn't like to talk about the Edsel a whole lot. He's the one that designed the Edsel for the Ford Motor Company when he was president. And F. Dirksen went on to say this, says, I know who appointed him. I'm really upset about who anointed him, knowing that McNamara is a Satan worshiper, member of the Presbyterian Church. Well, the International Monetary Fund, Paul Volcker, Assistant Secretary. By the way, Paul Volcker is now the chairman of the Trilateral Commission. David Rockefeller gave it up to Paul Volcker. And so he's moving in. I guess David's a little busy. One you'll never hear in the news media is the World Conservation Bank. When James Baker, part of the conspiracy, was our Secretary of Treasury, working for the United Nations, of course, worked out a deal. They met over in Arizona. Worked out a deal whereby that Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, and any other debtor nation that owed the International Monetary Fund, or actually the World Bank, any money, that they could deed over property, jungles, that type thing, natural resources. They could deed over to this World Conservation Bank those. And right now, the World Conservation Bank holds title to about one-third of the Earth's landmass. So, read into it, Rockefeller Rothschild now controls one-third of the world landmass. And the European community will have 380 million people, and the USSR, or whatever you want to call it, is still going to come in with 250 million more, and that'll make the United States just about like some banana republic. You know, you hear a lot of things about the Japanese and how much they own of the United States. Now, that's a bad rap. I spent quite a lot of time in Japan, and I tried to tell people in 1950 that Japan would become one of the greatest nations in the world, and people thought I was nuts. But I went back in 1958, and they weren't calling me nuts anymore, and they weren't now, because those people are dedicated. They're very nationalistic. And you'll never see a kid on a train in Japan reading a comic book. They're reading some science textbook. And they don't, well, they're just real workers. But anyway, did you know that Britain owns more of the United States? They're the number one owner. Holiday Inn, that's all British. Over in Ohio, we no longer have Standard Oil of Ohio. We have British Petroleum. Number two holder of American property is the Royal Dutch Netherlands. Japan is number three. And we say, well, they got to buy more of our products. How stupid can you get? There's only about 110 million Japanese, less than half the population of the United States, and we expect them to buy as much of our products as we buy theirs. They already buy about $40 more of our products every year per person than we buy of theirs. So don't be picking on the Japanese. I'd like the Royal Dutch Netherlands to be buffeted a little bit. Of course, our British brothers, that's all right, I guess. We're still colonies to them anyhow. Communism was created by the New World Order. 1917, the Tsars had abdicated, and Mr. Kerensky was establishing a democratic government, and he was with a parliamentary system, but with our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. But these conspirators couldn't stand that because you have to own too many people to control a democracy. It takes too much effort. They like dictatorships. If the dictator doesn't do what you want, you just shoot him and get another one. Very simple. And so we, the United States, put $20 million. Now, in 1917, $20 million, about like $20 billion today, and got Lenin, an old dissident, and 500 mercenaries, and put them in a train and crossed almost every country in Europe without ever being stopped for an inspection, and went in and overthrew the government. If you want some documentation of that, there's excellent books. One book is entitled Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution by Anthony Sutton, not Anthony, Antony. Most people misspell his name. He's excellent. And a book, Warmongers, by Howard Katz. National Suicide by Anthony Sutton. And that's an excellent book, but it's rather scholarly, so he put it in an easy-read form entitled The Best Enemy Money Can Buy. And another book, Call It Conspiracy, not to be confused with the old book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, by the same editor, Larry Abram. Well, the conquest of the United States will go on and on. And Glasnost, we don't even want to get into that, I don't think. By the way, Gus Hall, the head of the Communist Party USA, just recently said, USA Communist Party has far more influence today than it ever has because we have created the illusion that the USSR is no longer a threat. The United Nations, it's a new world order. 1945, the Rockefellers donated the land. The United States taxpayers built the building. I think it's interesting, in a tour there, you can go into the meditation room and find a statue of the Greek god Zeus in there. I think that's very appropriate. I went back. Being an engineer, I wasn't overeducated in the liberal arts and literature, but I looked up Zeus. It's very interesting. I think it's appropriate that Zeus be in the United Nations. He's the Greek god that raped his own mother, and that's what they're doing. And 5 October, we've already talked about that signing, and the 2nd of April, the voice vote, they created it, so we cease to be a private nation, a sovereign nation, and they will comply with the United Nations laws. That's all been put out. 1991, George Bush told the Congress that we would do that sort of thing. By the way, the treaty, here's a copy of the treaty. It's that, plus another sheet just like that is the treaty, and you can read it, and it's horrendous. It really does us in. Isaiah 5:20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Proverbs 17:15 says, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both are an abomination to the Lord." Proverbs 16:9 says, "Man plans his ways, but God directs his steps." Isn't that great? Remember Nebuchadnezzar, my servant? Revelation 14:8, "And the second angel sounded, following, saying, Babylon is falling, the great city." By the way, it's not the great city of Babylon is not over there in Iraq. I forget which talk it is I have it in, but the Babylon of today is New York. And the central bank code there is, you can guess it, 666. And New York adds up to 666 through four different methods. So don't invest in property in New York City, because it's coming apart already. And buying and selling with a number, because she made all nations drink of her wine and her fornications. Revelation 18:2, another messenger, an angel, cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, "Babylon the great has fallen, it is fallen, and it has become the habitation of devils." Did you hear that? Become the habitation of devils, Satan worshipers. "And the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of her wine and her wrath of her fornications, and the rulers of the earth have committed fornications with her, and the merchants," that is the money makers, "of the earth have become rich through the power of her delicacies and the blood of the saints." There's a prophet in war. By the way, the United Nations was created to ensure world peace. I saw in USA Today about a week ago that right now there are 52 wars in progress on the face of the earth. Since they were created, there's been nearly 200 wars since 1948. Remember what the Bible says when they cry, "Peace, peace," and there is no peace? I like Thessalonians. It says, "But brethren, you have no need that I write to you about the great day of the Lord, for you know the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, comma. For when they," did you notice it wasn't the brethren, "for when they," when the world cries, "peace and safety," then sudden destruction will come upon them as the pain in a woman in childbirth, comma. Then it says, "But you're not in the darkness that that day should come upon you as a thief, because you're not of the darkness of the night, for you are children of the light. So therefore, let us stay awake and alert, that you might know the things that are coming." Revelation 3:3, Jesus says, "I will come as a thief in the night if you will not wake up." Didn't say you lost your salvation, you just might be surprised. But you're not in the darkness that you should not know. So I think they're coming down. And a dear, dear brother under McNamara, he was an assistant secretary of state, he was of defense, and he was a Christian. There weren't very many in the Pentagon at that time out of the 33,000 people that work in that one building. And only about 12,000 of them are military. The rest of them are the bureaucrats that just stay there forever. And so Hey, we held a little luncheon for him as farewell, and he got up and he said this. He said, you know, when I get back to my home state, people will ask me, what is it like to be in a power position in Washington, D.C.? And he said, this is going to be my answer. He said, Washington, D.C. is like a great big log floating down the Potomac. And on this log are tens of thousands of ants, and each ant thinks he's driving. And then he laughed and he said, I just knew I was driving at least twice. And so that's the way it is. This bunch thinks they have everything under control, but they don't. God has everything under control. I can see this bunch. They just recently met in Washington, and they recently met over in Japan. The trilaterals met over in Japan and all that. And by the way, if you want to keep up on their meetings, there's only one source that will really keep you up to date on their meetings, and it's a little tabloid-type newspaper called The Spotlight. And, of course, they try repeatedly to get this thing out from publishing. And it's very cheap. 1 year, 51 issues. They take Christmas off. 51 issues for $36. And if you want to jot down an 800 number, it's 800-522-6292. I recommend it to you highly. They'll even list who attends the meetings. There's a gentleman there by the name of Jim Tucker. He is the phone number. Okay, 800-522-6292. $36 for 51 issues. Outstanding. In fact, that's where I got the complete text of the human rights thing and the fact that it was ratified the second day of April 1992. Wasn't in any other media. They won't tell you because they're all a part of the conspiracy. And it's really excellent. And by the way, there's a real good publication. In fact, it's the one that Glenn referred to a minute ago. This is a special issue. It's called the McIlvaney Intelligence Advisor. Don McIlvaney, a Christian. By the way, it's a very good one. McIlvaney Intelligence Advisor, abbreviation MIA, missing in action. He was a CIA agent for many years, and he found out about the conspiracy, and he left, and he's been writing. This special issue of July 1993 is the Waco Massacre, a case study of the Emerging America Police State. And it is really great. 24 pages. And as Glenn told you, and by the way, he tells us that he encourages reproduction and distribution of this. And to order it from him, it would be $4 a copy. But I think, as Glenn pointed out, I think you can reproduce it for about $2. And if you'll put your name back there. And for those that are listening on the tape, I've already given my address. And if you'll send me $3 to pay for the postage in this, I'll send you a copy of this and the New World Order and the chart and of the conspirators and that type. This is just outstanding. It tells you all sorts of things about the Waco operation that was never in the news and what you should do about it. And it's just unbelievably good. And another one, a little broader approach, is the World News Digest. It's a very good one, a little more abbreviated. Comes out every 2 weeks. And by the way, I didn't give you Don McIlvaney's phone number. It's 800-528-0559. 800-528-0559. For 6 months, it's $56. For a year, it's $95. But it's well worth it. You'll get information there you'll never get anywhere else. And the World News Digest, excellent. It comes out every other week, and it's $78 for a year, 24 issues. And the number for that is 800-728-2288. Excellent sources of information. And another compadre, a military man, Lieutenant Colonel Archibald Roberts. Outstanding. A little thing called the Bulletin. And it's only $25 a year for 12 issues, and the number there is 303-484-2575. Outstanding. He's the one that, to show you the horrendous thing of this group, they decided in 1989 that they had to kill two billion non-productive eaters by the year 2000 because you're eating up all their resources. And they're going to do it. Did you know that 40% of the people in Africa now are HIV positive? So 10 years from now, half of the population of Africa will be dead. Well, more than that, because it keeps spreading. An excellent article by Dr. William Douglas, who discovered how they did it. The World Health Organization, WHO, World Health Organization, murdered Africa. How did they do it? They took a bovine virus from a cow and was able to alter it through the biological engineering to a virus that had no known cure. And it would infect people, and they put it in the smallpox vaccination and started vaccinating people in South Africa. So that's the name of his book, is Who Murdered Africa? And then, of course, it spread over to Haiti, and the sodomites from the United States have their big orgies down in Haiti, and, of course, they got it from the Haitians, and then the drug addicts got it and whatnot. And now we have, riding piggyback with the HIV virus, a tubercular virus that has no known cure, can't be cured at all. And the Control Disease Center is lying to you through their teeth. Boy, if they told you how many people are dying of AIDS, there'd be a revolution before morning. But you see, that disease is a civil rights. It's sick. All the other diseases are treated as diseases. Even smallpox and typhoid and all of those, which are seldom ever fatal. But AIDS is fatal. And you can't do anything about it. It's HIV. It has a civil right. But he does have the book, Who Murdered Africa? And it's spreading rapidly. They don't have any problem with that in Cuba and Russia and the places, because they treat AIDS or HIV as a disease. Did you know that we have at least three cures for AIDS? One, the use of ozone by enema type thing with ozone. And also, Dr. Douglas has an 85% cure of simply taking about a third of the blood and circulating it and he gives the exact wavelength of the ultraviolet light, putting it back in the body, and it cures the AIDS. And just reading one the other day of biomagnetics cure of AIDS, too. But all of those are not expensive at all. It costs about, less than $1,000 to use any of those. But you see, the medical industry and the pharmaceuticals, by the time the HIV virus is manifest in AIDS, that industry collects about $250,000 per patient, so they're not about to let some. By the way, Eustace Mullins, a man I really respect, I've read many of his books, he's writing a new one pointing out that of the 12 major pharmaceutical companies in the world, 8 of them are owned by the Rockefeller Rothschilds. And they're going to get control of your vitamins and your minerals and everything else. Yeah, they're tearing up places all over the place. If there's anything that will cure you inexpensively, they're not for it. They want to cut, burn, and poison, known as surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. And as Dr. Douglas pointed out, they have absolutely no proof that any of that extends your life expectancy with cancer any more than if it just left you alone. All they do is make your last days on earth miserable and get your money. Well, so much. My gut gets to turning when I talk about things like that. But so you can become informed, gain knowledge. And then what do you do? Well, everybody would like a pat answer as to what we must do. I'll just have to tell you, I'm at a loss to tell you what to do. And I think if I did know what to tell you to do, I wouldn't dare tell you. The only one answer, and that is you must be led by the Spirit of God. And pray for wisdom to know what you're to do. Each member of this body has a different function to perform in the body of Christ. And the only way you can perform that is to be led by the Spirit of God. Billy Graham was right on many years ago when he said, if you find two Christians doing the exact same thing, one of them missed God. Because it's a many-membered body and each has a different function. And so to be led of the Spirit. However, and I trust the Lord is leading me, I spend a lot of time doing this and trying to get people informed. And I was a charter member of the Freedom Council of Pat Robertson organization, and we've started up, you may have heard of it, Christian Coalition. It's been in existence now for 3 years. I'm a charter member of that. We'll be meeting in Washington, D.C. the 10th and 11th of this month. I'll be there. In fact, we've gotten so big that the Freedom Freedom, what do they call it, Founders Inn down there in this hall at Virginia Beach. Just wouldn't hold the people. Last year, we had to turn away about 3,000 people. The hall would only hold 2,500. So this year, we're having it at the Washington Hilton Hotel, which will seat over 5,000 people. That's where we used to have the full Gospel World Convention. And right now, and we don't necessarily want to advertise it, but right now, the Christian Coalition has more dues-paying members than the Democrat and Republican Party combined. Praise the Lord. And they put out, I'm real remiss. I don't have their 800 number, but you know how to get it. You just dial 800-555-1212 and ask for the 800 number of Christian Coalition and ask them to put you on their mailing list. And they put out a monthly paper telling you how the Christians are being raped all over the country. But they also have the American Law and Justice Foundation, the ACLJ. It's the opposite of the ACLU, the Anti-Christian Liberties Union. And that's doing a great job because they're going out. And I was in on the meeting when a lawyer got up and told Pat, says, Pat, you just got to get it through your head. You Christians, and he's a Christian too, said, we Christians got to get it through our head that we just don't go out and say, now look, fella, you just don't do that, and you convince them they're doing wrong, and if you cease and desist, fine. He said, that doesn't work. You got to sue them for a couple of $1 million, and then the rest of them looking on get the idea that you just don't kick these Christians around. And that's what we're doing. They got about 500 suits now, and they average $3 million a suit. Remember when they hauled off those kids that were before school day, were standing around the flagpole holding hand and praying before the school day began. And they had them on video. The police came and handcuffed them and hauled them off. Well, Jay Sekulow, a Jew who's found his Messiah, and so did his two brothers. Boy, he's a tiger. And he went down and he got the school board to apologize. But he says, we're not letting the law enforcement off. We're suing them for $2 million for violation of civil rights. And they won't respond anymore like that. And on and on and on and on that they're doing that. And anytime you have a problem of that type, call them. The American Center for Law and Justice. And that's another Pat Robertson endeavor. Now, we do not back candidates in the Christian Coalition. But we do help select candidates. You can't believe this. People, it's so great. I had heard this, but being in the military, I didn't participate. We were forbidden to participate. However, I was pretty mouthy about Johnson and Goldwater because I wanted to see Goldwater in because he made sense. And So I decided down in Bath County, Virginia, where we'd lived for 15 years, that I was going to become involved in politics because Pat Robertson, a longtime friend of mine, was getting involved. And so I decided, I called up and found out where the Republican committee was meeting, and the president turned out to be the wife of the local bank, bank's president. And she said, Speed, we're having a meeting tomorrow night over at the courthouse. So I went, and this is what happened, one meeting. I got there, and here was Emmett Hanger, who wanted to be a delegate from our district to the delegation or a congressman from Ohio to the state Congress. We call them delegates in Virginia. And he and I hit it off real well because I told him why I was there and all that sort of thing. And so when they called for people to volunteer to go to the district convention as a delegate, I volunteered. So I went over to Stanton to the convention, about 120 people. And I was a delegate, and Mr. Hanger came up and said, Colonel Wilson, would you like to serve on the nominating committee? And I said, well, yeah, sure would. So I ended up nominating him, and he got elected, and I gave a speech nominating him to be our representative, and he got elected to the delegate. So I thought that was so much fun. Now, there's 120 people actually determined who in the heck's even going to be on the ballot. And I'd only been to one meeting. And so then I went to the state convention. And this was really a kick because here I was, Bath County, and the only county ahead of us at Roanoke was Augusta County. And so here was Bath County sticking up there. And there's a real joke that Sergeant Shriver's sister is a Republican, you know, married into the Kennedy family. And she was a delegate. And all of a sudden, people were coming down, men were coming down, and we were standing out in the aisle and hugging each other and carrying on. And the president asked me, he said, "Speed, how do you know all these people?" I said, "These are all full gospel businessmen people."
Hallelujah.
And they were all doing the same as I was. Now, if we could ever gotten it to the national convention, we could have gotten Pat nominated, because two-thirds of the delegates were Pat Robertson delegates. But due to the Super Tuesday thing, the first ballot, you have to vote the primary leadings. But after the first ballot, you vote your conscience. Well, that didn't work out. So whatever the Lord leads you to do, but I would sure encourage you to stay informed. I've given you sources for information. And please become involved. Christian Coalition is convinced the best place to start is getting members on the school board, which they did up in New York and really scared the living daylights out of those heathens up there. And they're doing the same in California and many places. And then when you've served there, we'll then go to city council and then on up to the state Congress and legislature and right on up the ladder to Washington, D.C. Well, this bunch is going to have a meeting and they'll say, "Well, we have absolute control." And then somebody will jump up and say, "Did you hear that trumpet?" Glory to God. And the Lord shall return with a shout and said, "I thank you for setting up the system. My saints now take over now." Glory to God. God bless you. And things are going to get rough. If you can't remember anything I said, remember Revelation 22:11. He says, Jesus says, "I come very quickly. When you see the wicked being more wicked, the filthy being more filthy, the unjust being more unjust, comma, but at the same time, you'll see the righteous being more righteous and the holy being more holy." Glory to God. Praise the Lord.